Hey friend, you are listening to the Seed Time Money Podcast, where we are currently on a 40-week series sharing the strategies, action steps, and biblical insights that we use to go from paycheck to paycheck living to becoming seven-figure givers. Mm-hmm. And so if you want to become debt-free this year, if you want to stop counting down the days to payday, break out of that cycle, if you want to have money available to do all the different dreams and things that God has put on your heart, well, for the rest of this year, each week we're going to be sharing a specific action step that we took from going from maxed out credit cards, debt collectors calling, all that stuff, to being 100% debt-free and reaching our biggest financial goal of giving away $1 million. So each week is going to leave you with a specific step that you can take to reach your financial goals way faster than you thought possible. And today we are starting with the full story of what God has done in our lives over the last few years, and basically what that looked like going from debt collectors calling, stranded 1,000 miles from home with $7, from that reality to just the miracles that we've seen God do in our financial life. And the goal in this, hopefully you know our hearts well enough to know, this is not to brag, except to brag on God mm-hmm. and what he has done. Because
yeah,
again,
it's our testimony.
If you know where we've come from, right. You would know that this is not about Bob and Linda. This is about what God has done. And that's what's so beautiful is your story that you are in the middle of. It's not about what you can do in your own strength, but it's about what God can do in your financial life. And the key is just getting in a position to allow him to do that. And mm-hmm. so we're going to share our story today. It's going to go a little bit longer. Most of the episodes or chapters that we're going to be talking through, all the checklist items are going to go faster. But this one, we're going to lay everything out, go through everything, and just share, hopefully as an inspiration to you, just to see what God can do. Because we still look back at what he's done in our lives, and I think we just shake our heads. And we're just like, what in the world? How he did, blah, blah, blah. And to be honest, I feel like we're just getting started.
I was going to say, we're not even done yet.
I think God's got a lot more for us, and yeah. I think he does for you as well. So mm-hmm. with all that, let's kind of take you back all the way to the beginning. And if you... the story I tell a lot at the beginning of our book, Simple Money, Rich Life, if you haven't checked that out, that'll be the full-length story. I don't want to go into all that detail because I don't want this to be a four-hour-long episode here. But the gist of it is, for me, about 20 years ago, I reached my breaking point when I found myself 1,000 miles from home, $7 in my checking account. I had just gotten paid, and I was trying to go take that paycheck to put in the bank so I could pay my rent. And then my car breaks down at the worst possible time. My credit card was nearly maxed out. The only saving grace was that I didn't know you could have more than one credit card. Otherwise, I probably would have had a whole bunch. And I just had one that was nearly maxed out. And I found myself in this position of being a complete mess. And I was cocky, and I thought I knew everything about money. But yet, here I was in this complete mess financially.
It's a little bit funny that you thought you knew everything about money, but you only thought you could have one credit card.
Oh, I know. I know. Yeah. And I was
just kind of shows you where you were at. Yeah. You know?
Well, and I had worked at a bank. And so people just assumed, oh, he works at a bank, so he knows everything about money. And anyway, and I was clueless, but it required a humbling and maybe I don't know everything I think I know. And mm-hmm. And that, getting to that point, and really just getting to the point where it's like, God, I need your help. Man, I desperately need your help. Mm-hmm. Like, this is the fruit of my efforts. What does it look like, Lord, if you step in and kind of, I give you the reins, mm-hmm. you know? And that was a life-changing moment for me. So that was me about 20 years ago or so. And then meanwhile, you were in a different situation, completely different city, but having your own kind of mess.
My own mess. Yeah, absolutely. I didn't really ever learn much about finances growing up, except for that debt was bad. But I found myself in massive debt because what I wasn't learning was how do you make sure you don't get in debt? What does that look like? How do I tell myself no? Like there's so much that I think comes along with it that I just was never really taught or even interested in learning. I didn't think I needed to learn about any of that stuff, you know, so I didn't seek it out. For sure. But I was living in my parents' house. I mean, they were buying my toothpaste. Like, I didn't have any bills.
You had a good deal.
I had a good life. I had a full-time job. I was paying for my car and maybe my phone, probably. And I remember I was getting this weird phone call. Like, somebody was calling my cell phone for a while. And I was like, what is this? They leave a message. Well, this person eventually calls my parents' landline. And I was like, oh, okay. I know this number. I'm making a sandwich at the kitchen counter. Thankfully, my mom is doing something. She's occupied. So I see the phone ring. I see this number and I recognize this number. So I grab the phone as fast as I can, run into my room, shut that door, run into my closet, shut that door, because I really don't want anyone to hear this phone conversation I'm about to have, because I'd been avoiding it for weeks. And it was a debt collector calling me. And, you know, I don't remember what I told them, but I do remember my heart pounding. I remember my face feeling like it was on fire. I was so embarrassed. And
you're having visions of like the guys with the bats who are going to break your kneecaps and stuff.
Oh my gosh. I just couldn't. I was like, what? Why is this happening to me? Why is this happening to me? I mean, I didn't know what I didn't know. And of course, yes, like it's a one debt collector calling, like they're not going to come break my kneecaps. But like, I just didn't know.
No, but it feels like that when you don't understand how it works. Yeah. And yeah, they can be very intimidating.
Intimidating and persuasive and all that good stuff. So I finish this conversation and think, well, at least that's over with. And I go to work the next day. And of course, they call again. And who do they get to answer the phone this time? It's my mom. Oh, mortified. So my mother confronts me about it, you know, after I get home from work. And I just did one of those, it's fine, mom, I've got it under control. But I really didn't. I had nothing under control. I didn't know, but I was too embarrassed. I mean, that was the thing, is like, I was so embarrassed and so ashamed that I didn't even know how to ask for help. Like, I just was like, I just want to get out of this conversation and get away from this as fast as possible. And I definitely prayed, God, help me. Help me. Like, I know I specifically prayed for someone who was good with math.
You got me.
Little did I know my knight in shining armor was right around the corner.
Not
but
even
also
that good at
having
math.
Also having his own problems. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of interesting how the Lord taught us together.
Yeah.
You know, it was less about you coming and sweeping me off my feet.
Yeah, because I could have met you 5 years later.
Yeah, because you didn't have your life, you know, perfectly sorted out. But
no, I was still a mess.
We were both ready because of these experiences, I think, to learn.
Yeah. And so what's interesting about all this is where we are. And then we get together, start dating, and we're both like a mess. I might have been sharing more about my financial stuff with you at that point. I'm not really sure.
You were definitely talking about it, like,
because I was pretty obsessed. Like, once God got me going on my journey forward, which really just involved, like, he highlighted that the Bible talks about money, dude. Like, get in my word. I actually talk about it, you know. And
I'd love to help you with
a
this.
A lot. Not just like a little, a lot. I mean, thousands of verses about the Bible. Like, somebody was saying that half of Jesus's parables are somehow related to money.
Wow.
It's like just crazy how much the Bible talks about money. And I had no idea. Mm-hmm. But so I just began like obsessively reading as much in the Bible as I could about money, reading Proverbs nonstop, Ecclesiastes nonstop, and just looking everywhere else where it talked about money. And then I was reading other books, like on the practical things. I went to the Bible. It was practical too, but I was reading every book I gave my hands on, every magazine I gave my hands on, and just immersing myself in this. So I was probably talking your ear off in one way or another. And I didn't know the depth of the debt that you'd accumulated or any of that stuff. And so we both kind of like, you know, because you're dating, it's like, we're just going to talk about the fun stuff.
Right.
But what came out of that somewhere in here, while we're both messes and I'm just like trying to clean it up a little bit, like just starting, like our first few steps, somewhere in this, we're having this conversation where I was just kind of sharing, like, man, wouldn't it be awesome to just be able to give away millions of dollars, you know? And again, like, I'm in a basically minimum wage job with tons of debt and like no realistic possibility of ever doing that.
Right.
You
know? But as soon as you said it, I was like, oh, me too. Like, I had felt that way for a while. And I remember even just our pastor making jokes about people writing big checks at, you know, in the service. And you know, they were funny, but at the same time, I remember thinking, why is everyone laughing so hard? Like, I feel like people think this is funnier than it actually should be, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah, because both of us, I think we felt that way, like, why is this something that not...
That is ridiculous.
Why aren't there a lot of people in church that are like, don't laugh about that? You're like, yes, yeah, I like, would love to write $1 million check.
Let's do
and
it.
I'm actively working on becoming someone who can write $1 million check.
Right.
You know, and so yeah. I think both of us had... Even though,
yeah, it was less about the joke and more about the people's response.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So even though we would have never, like, we were so far from being able to actually do that, because this was the phase where when someone had a birthday party, it's like, oh man, we got to scrape together like $5 or $10
yeah,
and buy a Starbucks gift card. Like, that's the reality of it.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we're like dreaming of how do we give away millions of dollars,
yeah.
you know? And so it doesn't make any sense, but that's why I think we both knew that this was a God thing. It wasn't just a...
It wasn't our idea.
It wasn't just like watching Oprah and be like, oh, that's fun, let's do that. It was like God planted this in our hearts. It was something that, a desire yeah. that he planted in us long before, and he planted it in us when it was impossible in our own strength.
Yeah.
And made it so obvious and clear that it is impossible in your own strength.
Right.
Like, you two are not going to be able to do this. But with me,
for sure,
we can do some cool stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, so we had that moment, I think, where we both are like, oh, yes, we both have this dream and this desire. And so even before we were married, we both had this desire to give away millions of dollars. And we wanted to be those people.
Yeah. So we get married and we kind of are praying more about this because it did seem so impractical. And I think what we thought was going to happen is like, oh, we've got this shared vision and now we're married. And I think God's just going to dump a ton of money on us because
opening
we
the
have
windows
this,
of heaven. Here
yeah,
it comes.
There they come. We're faithful to tithe, you know, we're, you know, doing all this stuff, we're checking all the Christian boxes and it didn't happen. And we were like, well, what's the deal?
Well, yeah. And I think the thing, our naivete in all that was, and this is super normal and common, I think, is we thought we knew what was required of us as stewards or managers in order to be able to do that. And meanwhile, God's yeah. like, no,
you're
I
not,
have different tests.
You're not there yet.
I have different tests that you need to pass.
And they take time.
Yeah. And it's not going to happen overnight.
Yeah.
Because I think it's really easy to look and assume that we understand our heart, assume that we understand, and again, like we can take this back to our own kids. Like
oh,
I can
yeah.
talk to my 10-year-old right now and, I could pull a chainsaw down and say, do you think you know what to do? Oh yeah, I got that, Dad.
I read the instructions. I'm good to go.
He wouldn't even say that. He would just say, I don't need to read the instructions. I got it, Dad. And I would be like, no, you're not ready to handle this chainsaw yet. You
yeah.
think you are, but you're not.
Let's see if you can handle a butter knife first.
Yeah. No, and literally that's what we're doing. It's
pocket
like,
knife.
I'm about to give him a dulled down pocket knife because he's been asking for so much.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to see how he handles that. And then we're going to move up. So it makes perfect sense that God would be doing the same thing with us.
Right.
The Bible talks so much about the dangers of wealth. That
yeah.
he's going to make sure that our heart is in the right position and that we're properly prepared to be able to handle and manage what he wants to entrust to us.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, anyway.
So, yeah, we didn't get, $10 billion just dropped into our bank account one day. And I think we were just kind of like, what's the deal? And that's the thing about God is he does things slow. We as... Whatever. Americans
in the West
want things as fast as possible. We're like, great. Amazon can deliver this by tomorrow morning. Perfect. I'm sold. Yeah. Or that's not fast enough. I need to get Instacart on this.
How
you
do
know?
We get God's promises in less than 24 hours?
And, he just doesn't do things like that. And I think there is a huge lesson to be learned in that just
yeah.
in our everyday, the way we think about life. But...
Yeah.
In this particular instance, it was like there were just things that needed to rise to the surface that we needed to become aware of in our own hearts, really.
Yeah.
and our spiritual walk and the way we thought about things and the way we handled things that we just did not know was there.
Yeah. And so anyway, so I don't know the exact timeline of all this, but we're dealing with this. And but as we're doing this, we're just taking practical steps with our finances.
Yes.
Continuing to make as many smart decisions as we can, mm-hmm. you know, and of course, making mistakes along the way. That's normal. If you were making mistakes in your finances, that's okay. You know, you're in good company.
Yeah.
But the point is, how do we make fewer mistakes and how do we make more good decisions? Mm-hmm. And so we began doing that. And as we started paying off more and more debts, you know, got a car paid off, which was amazing, like an amazing, amazing feeling, just having that car paid off. And then I think we probably paid off the next one, started paying off some student loans. Mm-hmm. It was just like one thing after another. And each time, you know, we have more money there because we just eliminated this $250 a month payment. And so now there's more money that we can put towards the debt. And so, you know, this is basically the debt snowball approach.
Right.
And so we just kept watching debt after debt after debt go down and disappear. And it was thrilling and exciting. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we began to go ahead.
Well, yeah. And I think the surprising thing to me was that it didn't take that long. So while I'm contrasting this with we thought we were going to get a bajillion dollars.
Yeah.
I know that's not a number, but we thought we were just going to get a lot given to us, but it was as we started taking the practical steps and doing just the regular wisdom that you can get from any financial expert will tell you these things like stop spending more money than you make. Oh, okay. That's something I needed to learn. I didn't know that before. I didn't. And as dumb as that sounds, honestly, I don't care because there's a lot of people that just don't understand that concept. And I was one of them. And so just start with doing that, and then you'll see God brings something up in your heart as that goes along. And every time we would get a little bit more money, it was like that same thing would happen where it was like, did you know this was here? And I'm like, oh, nope, didn't know that was there. Okay, let's deal with that. You know, and so as we were doing these practical steps and seeing progress financially in what we were doing, I feel like I was seeing it happen inside of me as well. Oh, Do you think that?
Absolutely. No, and that's the beautiful thing about how God does things. Like he's knocking over one domino that's knocking over 25 other ones, like all at the same time.
Yeah, for sure.
And
it really was not taking that long. Like I know that sounds silly.
It was going way faster than we thought. Yeah, because it's like the first few months of like kind of starting your financial journey, making some progress, it feels like, oh, this is going to take forever. It's going
take,
so slow.
Yeah, but forever.
Once you get a little bit further in, it's like the flywheel starts spinning and you start to see that momentum. And one thing adds on to the next. And then things just start going faster than you expect.
Yeah, it really did. And I think that was exciting. And it helped me to keep going.
Yeah.
Because I needed some motivation. And I think it's like that with any big project. Like when you sit there and you stare at it, first you're like, I'm going to do this. Like you psych yourself up. and then like a little bit into it, you're like, what have I done? It's like, you know, it's like when you clean out the pantry or your closet or something and you take all your clothes out and you're like, oh no.
I'm committed now
and I have to do this.
Yeah.
But then you just keep going. And then you're like, oh wait, this is not as bad as I thought it was going to be.
Yeah. No, it was.
So there is that expectation to have in mind of like, it's going to look really big before it starts getting easier.
Yeah. Yeah. But that is so cool. Once the flywheel gets moving and it feels like you're making progress faster than you should. And I cannot overemphasize like how exciting that is.
Oh yeah.
When you get to that point,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. And like, it really is. It's so powerful. And so, you know, we just kept going on our financial journey. Mm-hmm. And in a lot of this stuff, it's like we were doing the best we could do in the natural, but we watched God show up. Mm. And it was like, I tell people all the time, it's like he was a wind behind our back.
Yeah.
And so we went from this feeling of whatever, being on rollerblades, like, or roller skates, like trying to go up this super, super steep hill. And it feels like, oh, this is so hard and it's taking forever. And then it was like we were going down a hill and the wind was at our back.
Yeah.
And it's like, we are cruising. And I pray that
on
for you.
Pavement.
I pray that for you because it's such an amazing thing. But mm-hmm. it requires the a lot of work, you know, on the front end to get to that point.
Yeah.
And so as we're doing that, we're kind of going down this hill with roller skates, like, you know, we ended up buying our next car with cash, which I'm like, who does that? How do you buy a car with cash? But really, it was as simple as us just taking that, you know, $300 a month payment that we were paying to the bank
and saving it.
Start putting it in a savings account instead. And then do that for a couple years. And then, whoa, you got enough. You can buy a car.
And you're doing that while you're just driving the car that is fine.
Yeah, it was
fine. There's nothing wrong with it.
You know, because again, like I had blown or just grown up believing that, you know, once it's 5 years old, you know, it's about to blow up and you got to get rid of it right away, you know, and then go trade it in at the dealership and get a brand new one and like keep that cycle going. That's what they want you to believe. That's what they want you to believe.
Right.
So please just break out of that. Believe that you can. Mm-hmm. So that was like the first thing. And then we started saving up money for a down payment on a house, and we were able to save up 20% to buy a house, which is just nuts.
Yeah, that was awesome.
I had a lot of student loans somewhere in there. We paid off all those student loans, and it wasn't because the government paid them off. Like, we actually, you know, saved up that money and paid them off, and it was amazing. And then 3 years into owning our house, we ended up paying off that house.
Which,
you know, this is a
still
story
ridiculous
that we'll get more into. You know, we'll tell more of this over these weeks to come. But anyway, that was absolutely crazy to me. And there's a big God story attached to that we'll get into another point. But the point is that we were doing what we could do in our own strength. And then we were inviting God into this equation. Because I think so many people don't actually think and consider to bring God into their financial life. And what does that look like? And I would propose that the first part of that is a submission. You know, so for me, that was the breaking point of being in that car and just being stranded and being in a terrible financial situation and crying out to God and asking for help and admitting that I don't know everything I need to know and that you probably have a better idea,
God. Humbling yourself.
Yeah. So, like, I would propose that that is a first step. Actually telling God, God, this is not... I'm not living the financial life that I would like to. And again, and I'm just going to say this, your best financial life is not just about you. It's about the impact that you can make in the world around you. And your finances aren't about you because you are a steward. You are a manager of what God has entrusted to you, just like to us. And, you know, like we were talking about before, what we get to manage for God's glory is dependent on what we do with what we've been entrusted to manage in the past. So if we can't manage $100 well, if he can't trust us with that, he's probably not going to trust us with millions of dollars. So the point is, start where you are. How do you move forward from where you are? Prove yourself faithful as a manager who will use that for God's purposes and for his glory. And that doesn't mean just give it all away. It means obey what are the things he is asking you to do. Because it might be easier for you to give it away than it is for you to take that money and go start a business that he's asking you to do. But the point is, you need to be listening, following, and obeying wherever he's leading you with that. And especially when it doesn't make any sense. And it's like, well, this is never going to do the thing. You know, I feel like God's wanting me to start this business, but there's no money to be made in that business. And that'll never turn into anything. And God, I'm telling you, if he's asking you to do it, it is for your benefit, and you're going to be blown away at what he does with it if he's asking you to do it.
No, and I mean, I think we saw that so much just in you starting the business. And that, you know, that's just a quick, easy example is when you started the business, you had other job offers coming in for money that was, you know, The way we look at it, I think, as a society is this money is promised to me. They're going to pay me this salary and I'm going to do this work. And whether I make them money or not, they're going to pay me this. Like, whether it all depends on me or not, they're going to pay me this. Whereas a business was very much, it all depended on what Bob did, you know, if we saw income, really. And I mean, it depends on what God does. Don't get me wrong, but it's easy.
No,
to
that's
look,
what you believe. That's what
it's
you.
It's easy to look at an employer and be like, "They're going to pay me this money. Like, this is a great deal." And it was hard for you to go, "Oh no, Bob, God's asking me to not take this job and to just trust Him in what I'm in." What were we making at the time? A couple hundred dollars a month.
Yeah, Yeah. And so, I mean, just elaborate on this story just a little bit. Yeah. So this was when I got laid off from my job in the financial services world. And I felt like this was that crazy step of faith that God was asking me to do. I felt like he said, yeah, I want you to become a full-time blogger.
This was one of the crazy steps of faith, I should add.
Yes. And I'm like, wait a minute. You know, and again, this is 2008 at this point for anybody's curious. You know, like the word blog was barely even in anyone's vocabulary at this point.
A lot of people didn't even know what it was.
And God's like, yeah, I want you to do that full time. I'm like, well, I'm not sure you understand, God. I don't think anyone does that full time. I don't think you get it.
This is not actually a career path.
Yeah. Like, I don't think you, I think you missed something somewhere, Lord. But anyway, so I obeyed and chose not to go look for a job when all my other coworkers who all got laid off at the same time in that financial crisis thing, everybody's running to look for a job and they're all racing and competing against each other. And I'm like, not in the race because God's like, I don't want you to do that. Anyway, it was very, very, very interesting. But in that, so shortly after, I get my pink slip, final day of work, and I'm officially a full-time blogger,
oh,
you know, and again, I'm making $100 a month at that point for my blog. And I know it still sounds so absurd, just kind of like saying it out loud. And so I, you know, I'm going in there and going to the computer each day, doing the work I feel like the Lord's asking me to do. And I don't know, it might have been a month, maybe 2 months into that. I had a really good friend who was a couple years down the road, who I really looked up to, who had a fantastic business. Mm-hmm. And he asked, he basically offered me a job making twice as much as my old job. Mm. And I remember, like, I didn't even blink. I'm like, yes, this is it. This is the answer from the Lord. It's amazing. Like, God just provided. This is why he didn't want me to go look for another job, because this job, because it would be working with somebody who I really respected, doing work I loved, that I was good at, that obviously was paying well, that blah, 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 all this stuff. And so I just immediately said yes. And as soon as I hung up the phone, God, I could sense it in my heart. He's like, nope, that's not it. And I just ignored it.
Yes, it is.
I just ignored it. I'm like, I'm moving on. I already got the job, God. It's too late now. You can't change it. You know,
you can't change
it. I'm doing all that. And it's like, and I just have this sense in my heart. It's like, nope, that's not it. That's not it. And I fought it for a couple of days. And then I finally, I think I came back to you and talked to you about it. Didn't I talk to you about it?
I'm sure we talked about it.
Yeah. And I just remember, you know, you, in your wisdom, just being like, if that's not God, it's not God. Like, we just can't do it.
The little wisdom I had at that time.
You had it, man.
Yeah, it was hard, I think, to make that choice. But the thing was, is if we would have said yes to the promise of money.
Yeah, that's serving mammon.
It's serving mammon.
Yeah, and so for anybody who doesn't know, let's just address this verse. I don't remember the exact verse, but basically,
let me look it up.
Yeah, why don't you pull it up? You know, where Jesus says you can only serve God or money, and some translations say mammon, which is a whole other interesting thing we can get into another point. But anyway, the thing there in that verse, which she's going to pull up, is he didn't say, oh, don't serve money, but choose to serve God. Mm-hmm. The point was, you can only serve one of them. It's an absolute statement. It's not a, you know, try to avoid this and don't do this, do less of this, right? Did you find it yet?
Yeah, I did. So it's Matthew 6:24. The Amplified Version says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And in parentheses, it says money, possessions, fame, status, or whatever is valued more than the Lord.
That's good.
That's what mammon is.
That's what it was, or that's what it would have been.
Right.
Like, if we were making that decision. And really, that's what it comes down to. Any decisions that we're making, if the primary motivator is money, and it's and if that is overriding what God is asking us to do, like, that's a failure of that right there, where we have made that decision based on money. And we have made that, or I mean, I'll speak for myself, I've made that mistake in the past, and it's not good. Nothing good comes out
of it. I've never made any mistake like that.
I know. That's why I married you. I knew there was some reason. Anyway, so at that moment, like, yeah, we made that decision. It's like, Lord, okay, we're going to choose to serve you and not mammon.
Yeah.
And I remember, like, you know, grabbing my phone, dialing my buddy and telling him, I'm sorry, man, I made a mistake. I jumped the gun. I can't take the job. And I was hoping that he would be like, oh, yeah, I completely get that. I'm proud of you. But instead, he was just really
annoyed,
frustrated. Like, yeah, it was just not, it wasn't smooth. And so I made a mess of this situation. And because I didn't pray and I just jumped and said yes. But the bottom line is I had to do what I had to do and I made the right choice. I'm no doubt. And so out of that, like that phone call, probably one of the hardest phone calls in my life, because again, basically I'm calling him and saying, you just offered me a job paying twice as much as my old job. This is the security that we need right now. But instead, I'm going to kick that out and I'm going to say, no, I'm not going to take that job, even though we need the money really bad. And I'm going to go back to this thing where I'm making $100 a month.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, you have a minimum wage job. And I'm like, we might even get kicked out of our apartment if this doesn't work out long enough. Like it's.
Well, and it's just fascinating because that one decision changed the trajectory of our entire life.
Yes. And I am convinced that God does this all the time, that he places these decisions in front of us that are hard decisions to make. Mm-hmm. But man, when you make it right, when you make that right decision, there's so much attached to it that God is trying to do, you know? And it's like, we can go back to the Bible and look at a lot of examples. And I think about Peter, when Jesus asked him to cast his nets back after he'd been fishing all night. Mm. And Peter's like, dude, preacher man, you know I do this for a living, right?
You're a carpenter. Stick to what you do.
Not only do I do this for a living, but like, I know where the fish are and we've been doing this all night and there's nothing there, you know? And he could have easily just blown him off and just been like, no, I'm sorry. Like, I'm not going to do that. That makes no sense. Yeah. All my guys are tired. We're frustrated. Like, let's just go and then you can preach us a good message on the shore and whatever. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that's what I would have wanted to do if I were him.
I mean, but there's such a difference between hearing it and experiencing it.
Hearing what?
Hearing a great message from Jesus and actually experiencing what he does.
Well, and I love what, you know, the Chosen did with that scene. Mm. You know how they drew out this, whatever. This isn't necessarily biblical, but that Peter was really struggling financially.
Oh, yeah.
And all this stuff. And that was the answer to his prayer.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like out of that obedience to do something that makes no sense, when it's like you could easily dismiss it, you know, and that became a turning point for his life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was after that he's like, all right, I'm all in, you know?
Yeah. So, and we do. We talk a lot about this because we've seen it happen over and over again in our lives. And I think it happens to a lot of people where it's doing the thing that you feel like God is asking you to do that makes no sense, that you think there's no way this is going to do anything.
Yeah.
You know, like you started the blog, you thought, well, it was because you were waiting for this job from your friend, but it was actually, that wasn't it. It was, you were waiting for God to move in this ministry, which, you know, which is still going today. That's what we're doing right now.
Yeah.
And it's fascinating.
Yeah. And just adding another kind of piece to this whole thing and our story and all this, in all this journey of, yes, we were having some financial breakthroughs and that's all awesome and paying off the debt and all that stuff. But like one of the most exciting things that came out of this was having more money in the bank account to be able to write those checks with more zeros on them.
Yeah.
And so instead of, you know, being in that position where it's like we're trying to scrape $5 or $10 to buy a Starbucks gift card, it's like we can add more zeros to that. Mm-hmm. And then God began presenting different opportunities for us to give in ways to people around us. And it's not, because so many people think of giving just as just giving to the church or maybe giving to a charity. Mm-hmm. But there's so many things in all of our lives that the Lord wants to do through us. So many lives he wants to impact.
Yeah.
And through our generosity. And if we can get to a place where we're not, you know, all of our disposable income isn't going to credit card interest or to student loan payments, like then we can have some money sitting there to be able to do those things.
Yeah.
And that was thrilling when we began to kind of start playing that game and running that race. And how do we impact more lives? And so, you know, we've had so many instances of that. But
well, yeah, and I mean, that goes beyond just our friends, too. Like, it definitely extends to our friends, but it goes farther beyond that. I mean, Yeah, and I think I just want to share this to get your juices flowing on what this looks like. But like, if we are Christ's ambassadors on the earth, if we are ambassadors on the earth, then we have the opportunity to use whatever resources we have to impact the lives of unbelievers that we come in contact with.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of those examples is we went to a Christian concert at a venue here in Nashville. It's just a regular venue. Like, there's all kinds of different musicians that come in there and have different shows and whatever. But this was a Christian show. And so I went to buy, you know, a bottle of water or whatever at the concession stand. And I just was looking at the guy, talking to him, like, how's it going? And he's like, fine. I'm like, is there a lot of people buying stuff? And he was like, you know. And I was like, what do I know? And he's like, well, nobody's really drinking. So it's like, we're just not really making any money back here. And I walked away and I was like, we're Christians and we're supposed to be the most generous people. And yet we're being the most stingy, because everybody knows when you drink, you just get a little looser, you know, and you just want to give more. You will tip a little bit of a higher amount.
You gave
him
a really nice tip, though, didn't you?
So I walked back to my seat. Yeah. And I just sat there and I was like, I don't want that guy thinking that the people who are there for a secular concert are more generous.
Yes.
Than the people who are there for a Christian concert. Like, we should be the generous ones, the more generous ones in any setting.
Yeah.
That's what I really believe.
Yeah.
And so I went back and I bought another bottle of water, because we needed a bottle of water anyway. But I looked at this as an opportunity of, what kind of tip can I give this guy? Where is the extreme that I can, you know, take this? And, you know, I punched in the tip amount, and he looked up at me and he said, do you know what you just put in there? And I said, yes, I know exactly what I put in there. And I just walked away. But I wanted him to have the impression that he was seen, not just by me, but by God.
Yep.
And like, we have that opportunity. But if we don't have, if we're scraping up enough money just to buy the bottle of water, it makes it more difficult to do that. And there's, of course, there's other ways that you can make people feel seen and, you know, whatever. Yeah.
But this is one way that I think so many people overlook.
That gets overlooked.
We have no idea what has happened with that guy's life and how God can use that,
mm-hmm.
like, on his path towards salvation,
yes.
to knowing Jesus. And I remember another conference we were at, there was someone who, it was a conference that our church was putting on, and we hired a security team, and who wasn't part of our church, basically, security team. Not yes. necessarily Christians, not part of our church. And someone, one of our friends actually went and just asked them, hey, have you had lunch yet? I'd love to go buy you lunch. And they bought her lunch and brought her some Chick-fil-A or something like that. And
well, because she couldn't leave her post. She was doing security detail, so she couldn't leave her post, but she hadn't eaten all day and she was hungry.
And she was blown away.
Blown away. Not only that, she started coming to church, asked Jesus to be your savior. Like, there was a ripple effect out of, can I get you lunch? Do you need something to eat?
Yeah.
Like, a very simple, just thinking of you question and having the resource enough to be able to get somebody, or, you know, get this food to this person.
Yeah. So this isn't about having millions of dollars. Like, that's what's so beautiful about this is this is such a small thing that probably anyone listening to this right now can start doing and applying in our everyday lives, because it isn't that much money. But the point is, this is what's so beautiful about this. And this is why I think managing money is an act of worship.
Yeah.
Because when we do this stuff right,
mm-hmm.
We can see that the act of, okay, setting up a budget, or the act of trying to pay off debts or whatever, all this stuff, like, this is the other side of that.
Mm-hmm.
This is the fruit that can be born out of that.
Yes.
Now, of course, we can do all those things and then just take all the money and use it just for ourselves and, you know, satisfy our, you know, materialistic desires or whatever, but that's not the goal.
Right.
And of course, we're not the people who are telling you don't buy anything nice. Like, that's not what we're saying either. But the point is to be able to see the potential and the power that we have with the money that we have been entrusted to manage.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it doesn't take a lot. And I think that's why we wanted to bring up both of those points, is because there's opportunity on every side. Like, it doesn't matter how much money you have. But, you know, and you've even talked about leaving a $20 as a tip in a hotel room, and the cleaner, the woman who was cleaning the room, came out and like thanked us in person because it really blessed
her. Jumping up and down, tears in her eyes. This was a $20 that impacted her life so deeply in that we could have blown
any number of
ways. And it has impacted
our life so deeply in that we gave it instead of spending it on Starbucks.
We would have never remembered where that $20 went.
Oh, never.
Yeah.
But we do remember it because we got to see the impact on her life.
And what would it look like to live a life like that every day?
Yeah.
Like, I would love to be able to create stories like that every single day.
And I'm convinced there's so many of them we won't know about until we get to heaven.
But yeah, that's true. Yes. You don't always see the other side of it. But
but
the point is, when you start living a life like that, it's just really exciting. Mm-hmm. It's really exciting.
Yeah.
So anyway, kind of coming back to our story a little bit more here, because, you know, we kind of continued on this path. And then over the years, we watched God just stretch us in our giving more and more. And, you know, there's too many stories to tell to kind of wrap all this up into this. But one of the more significant ones that really moved the needle towards helping us kind of reach this big goal. And so, like I said, from the beginning, we had this desire to be able to give millions of dollars away. And somewhere in there, I decided, all right, I want to give our first million by the time I'm 40. And I'm like, how do we do that? And and one of the things that I realized is, well, first thing I'm going to have to do is start tracking it. Okay. So, and we'll talk more about this in the weeks to come.
This was brilliant. Yeah.
But I decided, like, if that's the goal, you know, then I should be tracking that number. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and this was honestly birthed out of kind of a mental, or I don't even mental, like a me doing some soul searching to discover and ponder about what real financial success is. Mm-hmm. Because the world will tell us that true financial success is based on how much we accumulate. So either we have $1 million or $5 million for retirement, or maybe it's the four-hour work week, or maybe it's being a millionaire by 40, or whatever
or
thing is.
Or any kind of status symbols, you know?
Yeah, it's having the big enough house, having the Benz, having whatever. Like,
yeah.
It's in the accumulation of stuff that you are a financial success through the world's eyes.
Right.
And I was asking myself, like, that doesn't feel right. Like, I don't feel like that's God's definition of financial success. Mm-hmm. And so if that's the case, what is it? And I determined for us, like, the best thing that I can see here is that biblical financial success, like the way that God would view financial success from an eternal perspective, would be about what we've given, not by what we've accumulated.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, that financial success, true financial success for the Christian, is about what we have given and not what we've accumulated, then we should be tracking that.
Right.
Because everybody else is tracking how much they've accumulated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they got their net worth statement and everything, and this is how much I've accumulated, and this is how special I am, or whatever else like that. And I actually like that. And for a tracking purpose, like, it's good from that angle, and we'll get more into that as well. But for the sake of measuring our progress, net given is the thing. This is kind of our spin off of that. Instead of net worth, we're going to track what we call our net given and track that number, you know? And so in doing that, that was like kind of the first step for us to kind of start moving towards the path of giving away $1 million. And so we began doing that. And then as we're tracking this, we're given probably 11% of our income each week and, or each month. And then I sense the Lord, stretch me. And one of the craziest things he's ever dropped my heart, he says, if you really want to see me move in your finances, I want you to begin giving your age as a percentage of your income. And I still remember exactly where I was standing when he dropped that in my heart. And I remember looking up to the sky and scratching my head. And I'm like, what? And I was 31 years old. And I'm like, where did that come from? That is so bizarre. That's so insane. That's blah, blah. But I knew that it was the Lord. It was, I just knew that it was him.
Yeah.
And so anyway, so out of that, and again, I'm giving you a very abbreviated story here. But out of that, we went from giving 11% one month to the next month giving 31%.
Mm-hmm.
And And the simple fact was, like, I thought this is going to destroy our financial future because we're giving all of our money away. And meanwhile, like, I had this, we had paid off all the other debt, all of our credit cards and everything else. And it was amazing, but I wanted to get that house paid off. And after giving 31% and doing the math, it's like, all right, this is going to take us 10 to 11 years to get the house paid off at this rate because we were giving everything away. And then the most amazing thing.
Which is still way better than a lot of people
who
don't even try for that, you know.
For
but,
sure.
Yes.
But for me, it's like I wanted that so bad. And I, you know.
It had kind of become an idol.
Yeah, it absolutely had. And that's why I think God was asking me to do that. It's like, are you going to lay this down on the altar?
And do what I'm asking
you to do. And obey and literally go in the opposite direction.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and those of you who have heard our story, read our book or whatever, you know that it wasn't 10 years later, but it was 10 months later and that mortgage was paid off. And it made no sense, but it was one of those things where it's like following God's obedient, following his instruction was the thing that got us to the thing we wanted so much faster than what the math said.
Yeah.
If we would have followed the math, we would have never given that money away. We would have, I'm like, I'm not giving 31%. That's 21% that I can be, you know, paying down this mortgage. That mortgage is going to get paid off way faster. That's what math says.
Mm-hmm.
But God's path was, are you going to trust me in this and see that I'm bigger than math? And he was, you know, and he was.
Oh,
and so,
gosh.
Anyway, so that was such a turning point moment.
Well, and that's just a mind-blowing revelation to realize that God is bigger than math.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because, like, we're, especially in that situation, it's like we are trying to do the best that we can. Like, we're trying to take our 5 talents and turn them into 10.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
we were following a biblical principle. The trump card was that God was saying, your debt payoff, while it is a noble cause, has become an idol. And I want to know if you're willing to lay that down.
Yeah.
To serve me.
Yep.
I want to know if you would just put that on the back burner so that I can, you know, do something. And it's just amazing what God did when we put him first. Like that's really what that was.
Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and then the things will get added to you. It was literally watching that unfold before our eyes.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's, you know, one of the things that we really want to call out about the issue of the way most of the world handles debt payoff. Any financial, you know, financial people usually will say, pay off your debt, pay off your debt, pay off your debt. And they bang that drum, they beat that drum, which is true. But what we as believers have to keep in mind of God is first and he mm-hmm. will always be first. And I will try to pay my debt off, but it is still not as important as following what God's asking me to do.
Yep.
So, and God is bigger than math. By the way, he created it.
Yeah.
And the system within where it works.
Yeah. And so that was a turning point, like experiencing that, watching that. And then in terms of like reaching this goal of giving $1 million by age 40, which was, you know, another goal that I had, this was like such an amplifier for
it,
because we went from giving probably 10, 11% to now 31% that was increasing every year because we continued that, continued to give our age. So each year, 31, 32, 33, 34. And anyway, and so in doing all of that, by the time we were, and I honestly kind of forgot about the goal a little bit until my third, while I was 39, late in that year, a few months before I turned 40, I went and looked and I'm like, holy heck, we just crossed that $1 million mark. Like I went back and kind of added in the things and it was such an amazing thing. And again, the number is arbitrary. It's just...
Well, it was something for us to shoot for.
It's something for us to shoot for, but there was so much more depth to it because this goes back to when we were dating and it goes back to the impossibility of the situation. Mm-hmm. It goes back to these two are never the two who could do this. Anyone who would have looked at us been like, there is no way. In fact, like, I mean, I remember like I remember talking to, you know, spiritual leaders about this idea of giving away $1 million and them just kind of like scoffing at me.
Laughing,
and,
yeah.
And it's so disappointing because, again, it's not about us. It's not, yes, I don't have it, but God does. God is able. And I think that's the thing that was so exciting to me about experiencing that and crossing that line mm-hmm. where it's like, look at what God did.
Yeah.
He's bigger. He's bigger than what anyone mm-hmm. thought could be done through us.
Yeah.
And again, like, and we want to give away lots of millions of dollars. This is just the
lots
first
of
one. Lots of millions. This is just the first one. Like, we're just on our journey. But like, we want to share our journey with you as we're on it. And so this is like, you know, one of our big mile markers, and there'll be more to come. But I want you to know that it's okay that you don't have it in your own strength. In fact, it's better that you don't have it in your own strength.
Absolutely.
And that you aren't able in your own strength because mm-hmm. God is able. And that's what he wants to do. He wants to use the simple to confound the wise.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants to do things where he is the only one who can get the glory because Bob and Linda cannot take the glory for this.
Right.
But God is the one who has to get the glory. And that's the way it should be.
Mm-hmm.
We just want to start this whole series with our story, just to let you know, to show you what God has done in our lives. And then also just hopefully inspire you a little bit, hopefully mm-hmm. paint a little picture of what's possible. And you know this as well as I do, this is a drop in the bucket. God is able to do so much more. Your situation looks so different. Mm-hmm. No idea what it's going to be for you, but this is what we're praying. I want to see God invade your financial life.
Yeah.
That's what we want to see.
Well, and ultimately, like, this has kind of been our journey, and I do think that everyone should track giving. I think, you know, we'll talk more about that, but we don't want you to follow the same path that we followed. Like, that's not the point of anything that we're sharing, and I think, you know, hopefully you've gotten that by now, but this is just inspiration to see when we go to God and say, man, it feels like there's something in this arena, and I don't know what it is, and I don't know how I'm going to get there, but would you take me there? Then following simple, practical steps to get there, you see how his plan unfolds for your life in a way that you could have never figured out on your own,
yep.
never done before, and just the remarkable things that he wants to do in your life, like, they really are there.
Yeah.
And all it takes is for us to be willing to do it his way.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
And I think that money plays such a huge role in everybody's journey.
Yeah. Whether you realize it or not. It's all, I mean, when you look at how money is integrated into almost everything, almost every part of our existence, you know, to some extent, it's just really interesting. All right. So now, like we said at the beginning, each week, we are going to give you some action step to take as we're going through everything. And most of what we're going to be talking about over the weeks to come are going to be super practical things, you know, as far as like apps to use, specific strategies for how to do X, Y, or Z.
Right.
And we won't get into all those right now. But the point is, it's going to be a lot of practical things. Mm-hmm. And you're going to have homework each week and something for you to actually do to move forward in this area. And so today, we're just going to start. I want you to pray. I want you to take 5 minutes, invite God into your financial situation.
Or more than 5 would be great,
more.
Too.
Yeah. Take more. But I want you to do it. That's the point. I want you to do it. And that's why you can take 5 minutes. You can do this. We're going to pray for you before we wrap this one up. But that's what I want you to do for this week. So with that, let's pray. And we'll go from there. Lord, we just invite you into our finances right now. God, I know that this is an ongoing thing. It is a never-ending thing. And I pray that you would invade our financial life in a way that you have not before. I pray that you would do a work in ways and areas that we haven't even thought of. I pray that you would move on our hearts, help us to understand things about ourselves we don't even know, reveal things about our hearts that we're not even aware of yet. And I pray that you pour out wisdom. Like in James, you said, if any of us lacks wisdom, to ask of you, and you'd give to us liberally and without reproach. And so I pray that you would fill us with wisdom in this area of our finances. Show us what it is that we need to know. Show us what it is that we need to do.
Mm-hmm.
And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right. And with that, we will see you in the next episode.
So if you liked this episode or just our podcast in general and you want to hang out with us more, what about for 6 weeks in a row with your small group or church?
Yeah, we'd love that. That sounds fun to us. Uh-huh. So if that is interesting to you, just head over to seedtime.com/true to get all the details of how we can do that and how we can serve your small group, serve your church, or also just send us a message on Instagram @seedtime or send me an email, bob@seedtime, and we can chat.